Charles Barkley once again has negative comments about the Chicago Bulls, but on today's episode, we're going to talk about how the Bulls kind of ruined their reputation after the Derrick Rose era and have continued to do it. And that's why the national media always looks at the Bulls downly. We're going to preview today's game against the Washington Wizards and dive into the mailbag. All that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Derrick Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today. So I'm sure many Bulls fans have now seen the clip with Charles Barkley saying that the Chicago Bulls wouldn't even win March Madness. Now, while that is a ridiculous statement, because, you know, NBA teams are going to beat college teams just when you look at the athleticism, everything, you got to understand why. And make no mistake about it. Every time Charles Barkley has said something negative about the Chicago Bulls, we know that Charles Barkley isn't following Chicago Bulls basketball. He doesn't watch the Chicago Bulls in and out every day. I wouldn't be surprised if the only time he watches the Chicago Bulls aren't when they're either on TV or when they're put on the list of teams that they want to talk about, because they faced off against a team that's actually playing on TNT that day. They faced off against them either the previous night, or they will face off against them the next day or something like that, right? We know that Charles Barkley is not the most in tune with actual NBA basketball. At this point, Charles Barkley is a media person, and that's perfectly fine, right? But Charles Barkley doesn't even know all the NBA players in the league outside of the superstars, and so we know that Charles Barkley has not been watching a lot of Chicago Bulls basketball. But even with that said, right, it made me start thinking about, why does the national media look so badly upon the Chicago Bulls, right? And that's outside of, you know, winning or whatever else. And some people go towards, well, they haven't really since the MJ era, which isn't really right. The Chicago Bulls are actually one of the more respected teams when you look at that initial team that John Paxson built over those years with the Kirk Heinrich and Luol Deng's and Ben Gordon's. The TNT Bulls era, the true TNT Bulls era, that team, while it didn't win a whole hell of a lot of games, was very well respected and well talked about around the league because they were a tough team that had the identity. And guess what? They were beating a lot of the top teams in the league, even though, you know, they hovered, you know, around less than 50 wins and things like that, right? But this was still a team that did have respect around it. But then when you add in the fact of the Derrick Rose era, once Derrick Rose came into that team and Tom Thibodeau, and this was a team that was beating all the best teams in the league, having one of the better records, had at one point the best record in the Eastern Conference, you know, having some of the better records there, beating like the Heatles, right? They always constantly were in battles against these teams. The Boston Celtics, that playoff series of Derrick Rose's rookie year, right? This was a team that gradually really kind of increased the way that they were viewed across the league. But then you look at what happened since then. The Bulls' reputation, basically since the Derrick Rose era, has left so much to be desired for, and it's been a big part in making us the laughingstock around the NBA. When you look at trading away Derrick Rose, even though I think most people understood at that time where Derrick Rose was in his recovery, where the Chicago Bulls were, they needed to go a different direction. But then that different direction that you pivoted to, you were supposed to start building around Jimmy Butler. You said you wanted to go younger and more athletic. You then brought in Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo, right? And that team really disappointed a lot, right? And then shortly after that, putting that experiment together, the Chicago Bulls said to themselves, we don't know how to build around Jimmy Butler. Let's trade him away. And then at that point, things got considerably worse for the Chicago Bulls, right? Going younger, drafting players like Kobe White, Wendell Carter, Denzel Valentine, right? The good players that they drafted. What was the hairline guy? Chandler Hutchinson, right? So like the Cristiano Felicio, that era of the Chicago Bulls has completely removed most of the respect and goodwill that was built during the Derrick Rose era, and it slowly went down over time. And then you had a front office that was inept, a coach that was a laughingstock, just a goofball of a coach in Jim Boylan, right? As a head coach that completely killed a lot. And then, you know, you had the things on the court with you know, the mutiny of players, you know, deciding to set out of practice and you know, in response like Jim Boylan and things like that, and how the Fred Hoiberg situation was handled. There's a lot of reason why national media is going to look at the Chicago Bulls and wonder, what the hell has this team been doing? And then you factor in the fact that the Chicago Bulls have not been above 500 since Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. It was the last time the Chicago Bulls were above 500, and even then, they beat the Charlotte Hornets at that point, 106-88, to get to 5-4, and they were on a two-game winning streak then. That was the last time the Chicago Bulls were above 500, and even then, that didn't last very long, right? The Chicago Bulls, since the 2021-22 season, where that team initially had it rocking and rolling, number one team in the East, and looked like they were going to start riding some of that national media conversation around them. What, they won seven out of like the last 30 games that season, and it's been all downhill since then. And then you look at where we are now. You got the Lonzo Ball situation, which that's not Lonzo's fault, right? But it looks like another blunder by the front office, right? You have a team that you refuse to move off some pieces. You keep bringing things back and running the same team back, and the national media has already made their decision. This team is fighting for a ninth seed. Then you pair into that as well how the Bulls have had less national media games. Those number of games have gone down, but when we're on the national stage, we don't perform very well. All that has contributed to where the Chicago Bulls and how their reputation is kind of league-wide right now, and it's going to take time and winning to get the Bulls back to that. Even in a season where we have the most improved player in the NBA in Coby White, the conversation is still about Zach LaVine requesting a trade and nobody wanting Zach LaVine, right? And the Bulls not being able to move that deal. The Bulls have put themselves in a situation where, yeah, comments from people like Charles Barkley, we know don't watch the team, they suck. And it sucks to get those comments about your team. But at some point, we have to realize that this front office and the decisions and the play on the court has kind of earned the Chicago Bulls that, unfortunately. And I just kind of wanted to talk with, just put me in a place of kind of looking at things and being introspective on the Chicago Bulls and just being like, well, goddamn, this is where we are. It sucks. It really does suck. But hey, we'll see where it goes, man. But we do have a game tonight against the Washington Wizards. This is a game where Coby White has already been marked as doubtful after the Bulls. You know, they said that he would be able to return as early as Saturday. I think I said even then, you know, that phrasing, he'll be able to return as early, kind of meant that that's the first game they'd be looking at him to possibly make a return, but doesn't necessarily mean that he will make a return. So we'll see how that conversation goes over the day leading up to the game. But we're facing off against the Washington Wizards. And this is a team that, even without Coby White, the Chicago Bulls theoretically should have more than enough firepower against. The Washington Wizards have the 16th ranked offense in the league, which is honestly better than what I thought they were going to be when I went to go kind of build this topic up and look at them. 16th ranked, they average 114 points per game. They average, they're 14th in three-point attempts per game. They take 35 three-point attempts per game, but they hit it at the second worst percentage in the NBA. They're 29th in three-point shooting percentage at 34.8. They're also the worst rebounding team in the NBA, and they average 13.5 turnovers per game, which puts them well at the bottom of the NBA, right? Towards the bottom of those teams there. So that means that, yeah, while they can put up points, they aren't very effective at shooting the ball. They shouldn't be this three-point threat against the Chicago Bulls, even though we know that this Bulls team gives up three-point attempts. They, like, give up career nights to teams that just aren't usually good from three-point range. So hopefully the Bulls can be prepared to take care of business there. And because they do average so many turnovers, hopefully the Bulls' defense is prepared to take advantage of those things, right? So the defense has to be locked in tonight. You cannot take a night off because you have the Washington Wizards in front of you and come in here and act like you're playing any other team. With the defensive effort you gave against the last couple of games, give that against the Washington Wizards, you should be cool. Defensively, the Washington Wizards are the worst defense in the NBA. They allow 123 points per game, 9 more points than what they average. They also allow opponents to shoot the ball 50% from the field, and they allow the most offensive rebounds in the league at 12 offensive rebounds per game. What does that mean? The Bulls' offense, if they play well, they shoot the ball effectively, they move the ball well, they should be able to take care of business tonight offensively. The Washington Wizards are so bad defensively that I'm not going to say it's a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination, but if you come in here with a game plan, you execute that game plan, and you play as a team, the Bulls should be able to generate more than enough offense to be able to be in this game against the Washington Wizards. You just got to make sure defensively you're sound. And because of how often the Washington Wizards give up offensive rebounds, you got to look for Vooch and Drummond to get those second chance points by the Chicago Bulls. We have to, again, rebound the ball as a team against the Washington Wizards. In no way I'm going to say that the Bulls can't lose against the Wizards, because we know every time I've ever made that statement, I think the Bulls have lost. They can lose against the Washington Wizards. We've seen this team lose against worse teams with much worse rankings. The Bulls have to be prepared tonight, and Billy Donovan really has to have this team prepared to come in here and execute a game plan on your home court Do not lose against the Washington Wizards. We know that there's a chance, but just don't do it. Don't put us there. Take care of business tonight. If you do that, you should be in a position to win this game, and we'll see how the Bulls do, man. This is the second game in a three-game home stretch for the Bulls. Let's hope the Bulls take care of business today. They get a day off, and then they are right back at it on Monday. And so, you know, you want to take care of the games that are controllable, right? The games that you should be favored in, you want to make sure you're getting those wins, especially the Atlanta Hawks lost to the Utah Jazz last night. So the Bulls now have that 2.5-game advantage over the Atlanta Hawks for that ninth seed. Take care of business today. Monday, you got Portland. Don't look forward to that game, right? Don't look ahead to that game. Take care of the business tonight, and then let's see where we're going to sit at after that. But it is Saturday, so that means that it is mailbag day. That means we're diving into the voicemails. The first one that we have today, this one's from Larry.
What up, hey? This is Larry calling back in. Just calling back in after seeing the aftermath of the Dallas game. I didn't watch it, but I saw it was a bloodbath. But, you know, it's kind of fine. You know, one of those games. Have to come back from a long road trip and seeing the families and whatnot. It just, you know, sometimes those games happen that we see. But yeah, that's not why I'm calling in. Calling in regarding the Lonzo Ball piece as far as the disabled player piece. Maybe this is the time where he's the first. I mean, there's got to be a first for everyone. That was the first, you know, the ACL, you can't come back from that. The Achilles. You know, somebody had to be the first one to really come back from that. Dominique, and then later now, Kevin Durant's come back, and he's, you know, Dominique came back and been an all-star, and now Kevin Durant come back and, you know, be an all-NBA performer. Maybe this is the time where someone comes back from this surgery the first time, you know, technology advances. But I say that to where if we file for it, I mean, you might as well just wait and let it play out. It's just 1 year left. Let it play out. If he comes back, great. You know, if not, then, you know, you go into it with, hey, we're the place that, you know, cares about the mental health, like with Andre Drummond. Also now with Lonzo Ball. Worst case scenario, we lose out. We are in the running to get Cooper Kupp or one of the other top picks. If not, we in the bottom 10, you know, we lose the pick. We're going to owe San Antonio 8 point anyway. But I'm kind of at this point, like, that's fine. Let's roll with it. It's just 1 year left. See how it goes. I appreciate it.
Listen. Yes, Lonzo Ball has been the first, will be the first to come back. Now, here's what I'm going to say to that. That usually the first player to come back from an injury that used to be looked at as career threatening still doesn't have a great career. It's just that they're the first to actually come make a comeback. And Lonzo Ball very well could do that, right? And like I've said before, the athleticism aspect of it, I'm not really too worried other than how Lonzo moved laterally on defense and how much he was able to cover so much ground at times. Maybe that's going to be a big thing for him. But I think, listen, it's 1 year, as you said. So if he doesn't look good, you move on from him. But I do think the Bulls still hold that chance in their pocket of using the career-ending injury exception if Lonzo's not fully cleared and ready for basketball by around, you know, training camp of next year. So the Bulls are going to have to make those decisions, and we'll see what comes of that. But, yeah, Lonzo Ball can be the first. You look at ACL injuries, and like you said, Achilles injuries, those injuries absolutely were.
Take control of your growing company's finances with Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card. With credit lines from $50,000 to $5 million, Bill Spend and Expense is here to help you thrive. Say goodbye to manual expense reports and juggling multiple cards. And say hello to saving time and eliminating wasteful spend. Try Bill Spend and Expense today at bill.com/promo500 and get $500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank. Member FDIC.
Looked at as being career ending at some point. But, you know, with modern medicine, you can come around to it. And so I want to also throw into this, while Lonzo would be the first player to come back from cartilage replacement, the type of cartilage replacement surgery that he had is a newer type of the replacement surgery. So that could go well to what you said as well. We'll end up seeing. At the end of the day, we'll see what happens with Lonzo and see how the Bulls handle this if Lonzo is cleared and see what that means for the Chicago Bulls. But all right, let's get into the next voicemail. This one's from Ali.
Hey, Hayes. Ali, stop on the show all the time. Love it. Love your content. Look forward to it after the game. Win or lose, you have the best content out there, brother. But anyway, just wanted to put a 2 cents in on Orlovsky's team. I think that he's going to be a superstar on our team, or at least a very solid role player for years to come. I just think that Billy Donovan needs to play him a little bit more, and I have a little more faith in the man. He is starting to show that, which is a good thing. But I do predict that he's going to be the future of the Chicago Bulls. Keep up with the great content, brother. Bye.
Shout out to Allie Fault in the building, somebody who's always around in the chat. I think this is the first time leaving a voicemail. But Batim being a superstar, I won't necessarily say that he can be a superstar, but I do think Batim can turn into one of those players that we all very well covered, and that NBA teams covered as well. To have the player that has the basketball IQ that he has, both offensively and defensively, and how he can theoretically fill it up, especially from three. I know that it hasn't necessarily been, you know, what it was, you know, what I even have talked about it to be in the potential there. But this is his first year in the NBA. Spent most of that time down in the G League, and I can't wait to see how he comes in, for example, to next season and what he gives those Chicago Bulls. But, you know, I like that Billy Donovan's using him. I like that he's shown, hey, not only can I be a shooter for you, but I'm no slouch defensively. I'm not going to give up defensively on you either. I think that is going to go well for him being able to stay in this rotation for the Chicago Bulls as well. I can't say superstar. Let's see him be consistent, be that consistent, role player. But I do think that Batim is going to have a really good, solid NBA career and be really good for the Chicago Bulls next season. I truly do believe that. All right, let's get into the next voicemail. This one's from Shay.
Yo, hey, it's Luke, man. I know you and we ain't talking about the draft or perspective draft picks right now, but I'm gonna be the first one to say this. I'm going to say we need to get Donovan Clegg. Look, I know that he's not the most flashiest center, but we don't necessarily need no flash centers. And here are my reasons. Look, we already missed out on Walker Kessler, and I think Donovan Clegg could be much more talented, and he's a lot bigger than him when it comes to size and height. Now, look, I'm not saying that he's the end all be all. He has a lot to work on, but let's think about it. He could become a much better shooter with our staff development coach here. And not only that, he has the size that we need, and we don't know if we're going to bring back Andre Drummond. And plus, on top of that, we got to deal with Vooch for another two seasons after this year. But the way I see it is this. He could learn from Vooch. He could get in. He could work with Peter Patton or whatever his name is and Chris Fleming. And then he could be our center for the future. Look, I know he's not the best pick, but he's much better than Zach Edey. And he offers a lot more than the rest of these other ones. Now, look, I know he's a little bit slow laterally, but that could come with due time. And I feel like he's one of the most NBA-ready type centers, in my opinion. And plus, we may not even get a top pick, especially with us making the play-in. And I feel like, you know, he could be exactly what we need when it comes to the future. But you may disagree. Anyway, tell me what you think. Please.
Donovan Clingan, here's the thing with that, is that Donovan Clingan right now is slated to go late in the second round. So the Bulls don't have a second-round pick. They have a first-round pick. And even if we do make the play-in tournament, that's still going to be a lottery pick if we don't make it to the playoffs. Or because we have to go through the play-in and we'll be the 8 seed, that means it's still going to be right outside the lottery. So that would be a huge reach for the Chicago Bulls to go Donovan Clingan at that spot where the Bulls are going to be. Now, could they theoretically trade to get some second-round picks or buy second-round picks? Yeah, that's a possibility too. But I think what the Bulls are going to look for, there are players in this draft that have higher upsides than Donovan Clingan and that are more NBA ready than Donovan Clingan as well. And that's why you see him slated to go late in the second round. Kyle Filipowski, who we got a voicemail on, is one of those players as well. Then you got some foreign prospects that you can look at. Tijane Saloon from France is another one that you can look at who has way more upside. And then I even think Khalil Ware is another player at center from Indiana that has way more upside than Donovan Clingan. And if we're going to go center, I'd kind of rather look at those prospects first than Donovan Clingan. But we know that this front office, they trade into the second round to get Julian Phillips. They see Clingan as their guy, which I'm not saying that there's not a possibility for a guy like that to be on the board. But I look at him and I think even Adama Sanogo has more of an upside a little bit. So, you know, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but we'll see what happens with that one, Shay. Great voicemail. All right, let's get into the next voicemail. One of my favorite voicemails that we've ever gotten. This one's from Charles.
What's going on, Hayes? This is Charles. I'm leaving a message for the first time. I've been watching you for a couple years now. And I just want to say you have phenomenal content. I'm proud of you, man. Keep doing your thing. And congratulations. That's out the way. Why is DeMar DeRozan so polarizing? What is it? I mean, the man has only missed two games in the last 2 years. He's been an Iron Man. And when we signed him, we wasn't expecting this DeMar. But we wasn't expecting Lonzo to go down. We wasn't expecting Zach LaVine to quit on us. So what is it about DeMar other than his age, because in today's times, guys are actually playing longer. I mean, if you look at, of course, LeBron James, he's 39. But if you look at Kevin Durant, he's 35. You look at Steph Curry, 35. If those guys decide to come to the Bulls, will we be like, oh, no, these guys are old? I don't think so. If Paul George decides to come to the Bulls, I mean, I'm just saying hypothetically, will our argument be, hey, these guys are too old? These guys are the same age as DeMar DeRozan. So, I don't know. It's weird to me that out of smoke and LaVine gets absolutely almost none. And he finessed us out of $215 million. He's averaging 15 to 20 games missed. And he hasn't really made a difference when it comes to winning ball games. So those are my thoughts. Point number two, look, for you guys that think it's doom and gloom and you think it's Armageddon because, you know, we lost to Dallas, relax. The Bulls are going to be fine. You got to keep in mind, the two star players on the team, Kobe, DeMar, and of course, Vooch, these guys have been playing so many minutes. And they where they won 3 out of 4 and they competed against the Clippers and took them down to the wire. Like, your star players, they're going to lose their legs. It's just facts, okay? DeMar is playing the most minutes in the league, and so is Kobe White. So they definitely need help. But you also got to keep in mind, we got most of our money tied up in Lonzo Ball.
Why is DeMar DeRozan so polarizing? So first, let me clear up some of the things that you said. You said he's only missed 2 games over the last 2 years. No, he's actually missed 10 games over the last 2 years. And then you said Zach LaVine averages missing 20 games. He does not. Zach LaVine has only had 3 seasons over his time with the Chicago Bulls where he's missed 20 or more games. So that's I just wanted to clear that up. But I think DeMar DeRozan becomes so polarizing because of the fact that he doesn't shoot threes, right, which is a limitation in how you have to play basketball. His age plays a part in that as well. And the fact of the matter is this. DeMar DeRozan is a player that you're going to have to pay, right? But we've seen it now. We've seen the ceiling. We've seen the ceiling with him even younger being on Toronto. We've seen it with San Antonio. I think that plays a part as well in why it's so polarizing because some people look at that and say, well, we have this player in DeMar, and yeah, he's been great. He wins us some basketball games. But, all right, where can we really go with that, right? We've seen that ceiling, and we're not going to put a championship team around him, right? So I think that's a part of it. But that's why I said even in my video that DeMar DeRozan's play has earned him a contract. It has. That doesn't mean that it's going to be with the Chicago Bulls, though. I think that's what it comes down to. And even in like your voicemail, for example, I'm not trying to call you out, but even how you go to comparing it to Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine didn't con the Zach LaVine was the player who he was, and that play for any team that gives has a player that's a young player that turns into the efficient offensive player he turned into is usually going to get the max. So, you know, that type of you should really kind of look at even how you responded to when you go to DeMar DeRozan, and then you make that comparison to Zach LaVine, right? Which is what some people also do in the comment section. You say something positive about DeMar, you say something positive about Zach, and somebody responds with a stat from the other. That makes it polarizing in of itself as well. So I think DeMar is this interesting view for a lot of Bulls fans of what's wrong with the Chicago Bulls, even though he is not what's wrong with the Chicago Bulls. It's the team overall and the team construction. But that goes to Zach as well. And to say that Zach doesn't get criticized, there are absolutely Bulls fans that criticize Zach. There are Bulls fans that blame Zach LaVine for where the team are. So I think both get an unequal amount of like hate towards their game when the truth is somewhere in the middle. And it also goes down to the team that the front office built around those players. Zach was growing in a place where he didn't have a lot around him. Yeah, you can say that Lauri Markkanen, but Lauri Markkanen was hurt, right? We initially thought Lauri was going to be the best player out that. Keep in mind, Zach LaVine was the throw-in in that trade and then ended up turning into the player that stuck around, right? So there's a lot of critique and criticism for both, and a lot of it is just, and some of it is kind of narrative as well. And it comes down to this team, I think, overall, people are ready to see the next phase of it. And DeMar DeRozan is part of that phase that the Bulls fans are ready to get over. So I think that's why it becomes so polarizing. But all right, let's get into the last voicemail for today. This one's from Arthur.
What's the deal, Hayes? Arthur calling in. Hey, yo, I was looking on Tankathon, and I know Tankathon isn't a good, accurate look at the draft or anything like that. But, you know, just looking at the name and thinking about positional need that we kind of need at this time. We kind of need another big man because we know that Vooch isn't going to, you know, he's not going to have 4 years. Might have a 3-year extension, you know, 3-year deal and shit like that, but we know he's not going to last 4 years with us or more. So looking down the line, I was thinking, dog, how would we do if we drafted a player like Kyle, was it Filipowski? Is that how you say his name? Old boy from Duke, 7-footer. He looked like he'd be a pretty decent fit. You know, decent size. He could run up and down. He can shoot, but he, you know, not really a shooter, but you know, he can shoot. So let me know what you think about that.
Bulls' positional need in the draft is absolutely center. I think that's the one that we always look at. If you can get a young center that you can think that can develop into a starting level center for you over the next few years, you get that. And then also you got to look at some things on the wing, right? Maybe that you do look at a player that complements Kobe's game and maybe even Io's game that is a 3-and-D player, right? That maybe doesn't have the superstar upside, but has some really solid upside for you. So I think center is, of course, the one that we're going to look at the most. I think power forward is another one. I think the big man position overall is going to be one that the Bulls look at. And then maybe some wing things. But if you find your player out there, a power forward or center, then Julian Phillips can still be a wing. You can move Patrick Williams back to the small forward position. So there are a lot of options for the Bulls. But either that or the Bulls are going to go best player available, considering that we are still going to try to find that player that can turn into a superstar. The Bulls may, regardless of position, go best player available as well. I think that's kind of the different ways that the Bulls can look to address the draft. But we'll see. I'm very excited to get to draft content over the offseason, really start digging in and giving you guys tape on these young guys. And we'll see where the Bulls are going to go, man. But great voicemail. Arthur, great voicemails overall from everyone today. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.